Hello, Cherokee County. This is Lynn Saunders, your host with Cherokee Conversations, and you are listening to 102.9 FM or My Grace Radio. You might be in your car and it's on your dial, or you might be listening from your favorite device. Then you are on mygraceradio.com, where we do live streaming all the time. So today, my guest is Jonathan Fancher. He is the executive director of Empower Cherokee of Georgia. It's a nonprofit here in Cherokee County, and his work is with adults with intellectual disabilities. Before we get started, Jonathan, would you just share with the audience a little bit more about how you found yourself working in this field and what your passion is?
Yes. I've always been in sort of the helping field in the ministry. My dad was a minister, I think, for 50 years, and we always just served in church. So we did everything for church members. We were always doing stuff for the community. It was just our life. We didn't know any different than anything else. So when I got old enough and got out of high school, that's what I wanted to do with my life. I went into ministry too. I graduated from the University of Mobile with a degree in divinity and a minor in psychology. So I went into doing youth work and different churches, traveled all over the United States, lived in Kansas for a while, working with some colleges out there, did all sorts of stuff. And through all of that, I kind of felt like I was missing a component of it, like I could help people better, and I didn't have all the tools that I needed to help people. And so I decided to go back and get my master's in counseling. So maybe I could reach them deeper in a more like at home and maybe help with some problems, some situations they're having. So I went back to school, went to the University of Montevallo, I got my master's in counseling through them, and I left to go do counseling and realized real fast that wasn't God's plan for me at all. And I thought, I need to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing here. So a friend of mine called me and said, hey, I work with adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. You should come check it out. And I said, all right, I'll see what it's like. So I came over, fell absolutely in love with it, and haven't ever done anything else since. That's what I've always done with it. So it was just a huge blessing. You make such a big difference in these individuals' lives, and some of them have gone through so many terrible things that all they really want is a friend and somebody to care about them. And so it's just I almost feel like sometimes this is more about me getting blessings than it is for me blessing other people, because working with these individuals, that's what it is. It's just about love and having fun and laughing.
That's wonderful. So describe to the audience what an individual with intellectual disabilities is like. What kind of physical or mental issues come to the table?
Sure. Well, so we have a criteria. So we are contracted to the state to provide these services. And so we have a criteria that every individual has to meet. First of all, they have to have been either born with or got a disability as a child, and they have to have an IQ of 67 or below. So most of the people that we deal with, a lot of times we call them kids. They could be 70 years old and we're calling them kids just because they have that same laughter and that same outlook on life, like everything's new, everything's a wonder, everything's exciting. So we get caught up into that. We're another grown adult, but we still call them kids sometimes just because of their outlook on life. And but we deal with everything from Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, alcohol fetal syndrome, anything you can think of that could create a disability, even a stroke. We have children that's had stroke and it's caused brain damage.
I've never heard of that.
It's a wide range, and I don't think people realize how many people are out there just in our county.
Yep. I have a grandson who is 17. Well, he's almost 17 and he's autistic. So that certainly brought, you know, some new learning things, tools for our family. But he cracks jokes all the time about cars. He loves cars and he knows them. And he'll like, Grandmommy has a gray Palisade. And I'm like, yes, that's right. Or sometimes he'll play with me and he's like, Grandmommy has a white Nissan. And I'm going, no way. And we just sense of humor, but that's a way that we can communicate just through that, his desire to be playful or to engage with us. And he's
and to be a part of your life. That's all he's trying to do, is just be a part of your life.
Yes. Well, my hat is off to you. It's difficult work. I mean, I know how I feel and interact with my grandson. But I it's hard. I mean, it's you think of the what ifs, you know, what if this hadn't happened, you know, in his life, and for whatever reason it did, you know, some of the broken dreams that the families share for their kids. But yet you are bringing a brand new perspective to where you are happily engaging them, and you call them kids, and I think that that's just remarkable. I'm not wired like that. My sense of social services went in a different direction, and a lot of people weren't wired for, you know, the work that I was involved with. So God uses us all as He needs us to be, and it does truly take this community to bind together, because we all can't do it on our own. So with the individuals that you work with, what is the main goal? What do you do with them? Are they like a daycare situation? Do you have that in your facility? Or what is the main thing that you do with them?
So there it's kind of a very it's kind of a big broad question to ask because we offer a lot of different services here at Empower Cherokee. So we do everything from what we call is our day program where they can come here Monday through Friday, 8 to 2, and it gives the family an opportunity to work, you know, because they have jobs too, and sometimes the individual just can't be left at home. And on the flip side of that is if our individuals were left at home, they're going to be sitting watching TV and movies for the rest of their life. No interaction, no friends, no in the community. So it really gets them out and helps them make friends and learn how to socialize and get to experience our community, how all the wonderful things that it has out there for them to do. They just wouldn't get that at home. They would just be stuck playing video games or on the iPad, you know, just sitting there by themselves all day. And that's not what we want for our guys. The other services that we offer are one-on-one services where they get to go out with one staff and they get to do all those things. Like if you went out with a friend on Friday, y'all would go out to eat and go shopping, maybe see a movie and just have a good time. And a lot of our guys don't understand the dynamics of that or what we take for granted. Like say we got to go to the grocery store to get some flour. They would go in, pick up a bag of cornmeal or a giant size bag of flour that they don't have enough money for. And then a lot of our guys will just put the stuff down on the register and throw all their money down and walk off. And we teach them, no, you need to get your receipt, wait for its bag, say hello, greet everybody. And so we're really teaching them those social skills that we take for granted that we do every day. And so they appreciate it and they like it. And a lot of it's just repetition, repetition, repetition. But eventually they get it and you're so happy and excited for them. And it's like a party when they do finally figure it out. And so it's just things like that that we do. We also offer housing and we offer supported employment where maybe somebody wants to work a job, but they need somebody with them to help them do that job or even finding a job, filling out an application. All that's really complicated that we kind of take for granted. And we've all filled out applications that we thought, what? This is like 10 pages long. I got to fill all this out and figure out what they want and what they're looking for. So those can be really complex for our individuals that we serve. So we spend time helping them do those skills that they need to have a life, have a career, just like anybody else.
Can we dig in a little bit deeper? So, because you went from we take them to the grocery store and help them understand that whole purchasing process, right down to, you know, waiting for your item to be bagged and getting the receipt. Are you also teaching them skills that they can do as a job? Because I know that some of our local businesses here do employ people with special needs, and whether it's a bag boy at the grocery store or just different things, do you teach them how to do that?
Yes, every our we try to make every experience a learning experience for them. So even if it's the simplest thing as, you know, we're doing an art project, how do you follow instructions? How do you share? How do you communicate your needs to other people or to the staff? So everything we try to do is a learning thing. So every time we go out in the community, we always ask our individuals, hey, would this be something you might like to learn how to do, or maybe a job you'd like to have? So that's always our go-to when we talk, go in the community is, hey, is this something you're interested in? Because If it is, we'll build relationships with that company, or we'll build relationships with those people and see if we can find an opening that this individual could work in. So it's always a learning. Sometimes they go in and go, nope, not interested in that at all. And it's sometimes they're like, maybe. And a lot of our job is to teach them about that work. So we've been starting a new program where we're trying to get community members to come in and talk about what they do and the jobs that they do in the community. Kind of like you would have a career day at school where you'd come in and talk about your job to your kids' classroom. And do the same thing here and let our guys experience that. Hey, you know what? I could do that. I can actually do this job. So we want them to know there's more out there than, just these small jobs that you usually see guys do, and that they can do more than that. But they don't really know what's out there. They don't really know about the work. So, and that's our job, is to educate them.
And housing. You mentioned housing. What does that look like?
So our housing is, I actually love our housing. We just started it not too long ago. And so we do, it's a ranch style house. It's a beautiful house. It's probably in your neighborhood. Nobody knows you're there. But it's usually a 5-bedroom, 3-bath house that our guys all have their own room, and they all just live together, and they get to pick who they live with. So we don't want them living with people they don't like. So they've sort of become a family. And we have one staff that stays with them all the time. So they have 24-hour staffing that are there. And they get assistance whatever they need. So if it's like they need help cooking, our staff helps them cook. They need help with laundry, our staff helps them do laundry. If they need help with medication, we help them with medications. So really whatever they need. We have vans at each one of our houses. So the staff just loads everybody up into their van, and they go to the grocery store, or they go out to eat, or they go to the movies, or they even go on vacations together. They just pretty much live their life just like we do. And so it's about them actually having a life. And parents are aging now, and they can't always take care of their child, and they're looking for places to go. But so far, all we've been able to open is three houses. So we have two men's home and one women's home. And the guys that are there absolutely love it. Any one of them you talk to, they'll just say, oh yeah, this is my home. I love it. They'll want to show you everything about it. They'll want to invite you over. But it's good. We celebrate birthdays, holidays, they do everything just like we do.
Is it hard for families to let go of their son or daughter? Again, because my daughter has this, almost man, and there's so little information out there of what are next steps, what are the options, what's available. And so I think that if it ever came for her to say, okay, it's time to be a part of the community in a different way, she would be a basket case. And I would probably be a little worried too. How does that transition go from home to rehome? Would that
I think it's harder for the parents than it is for the individuals, because the individuals, they're getting something new where somebody's giving them attention 24/7. They're getting to go wherever they want to do. It's all about them when they move in. And so the individuals seem to like it better than the parents, because the parents are feeling guilty about it. They feel
Yeah.
like they've abandoned their child. And so they show up a lot of times when they first move in. We don't ever see them on the weekends because the parents grab them on Friday and they're gone all weekend with the family. And which is okay. They need that time to transition just like anyone else. But we let them come in and visit first. Like, we'll let them come spend the night to see if it's a fit for them and for the other individuals, if they like each other, how they like the staff, how they like the house. We try to make it as easy as possible, and we never make it like, this is the rules. You have to do it this way. You have to do this way. Because everybody's different. Every individual is different. Some people can't handle change. They need to do it slowly. Some people just want to jump right in and go. So we try to work around what the family wants, because that's important, because they're always going to be in their life. And we don't ever want that to end. But we do want the individual to learn some independence and make some good decisions for themselves.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned the other that the other night you were at a transition
Academy,
point.
yeah. So, Cherokee County puts on a transition fair every March, and it's for all the schools, the Transition Academy, anybody who's with special needs can come out there and find out all the resources that are available in Cherokee County for them. And so it's a very neat program that I'm proud to be a part of with Cherokee County because it is hard for parents. And I have people reach out to me all the time and say, hey, I don't know how to do this, or I'm not sure how to handle this situation, or how do I apply for these services? How do I fill out applications? And we've been doing this. I've been in this field for 25 years. So it's like, I can do it with my eyes closed now. If you'll just give me a call, I'll walk you through it and we'll answer any questions you have and we'll get this figured out. And that's what people need is just somebody who will say, hey, I'm here to help, and walk them through it. And that's what the resource fair does. It gives them those resources and those connections that they need to find the services that they really are looking for their child.
It's hard to navigate, and so
It is.
that makes sense that that y'all would come together, everybody from the different points of service, and to truly come around each young man or young woman who's exiting high school. Now, age to exit high school, it's a special needs. It's 21 in this
It's
state.
21 now. They can stay in or they can leave early. So our age when they move into our services or after they've graduated, and they can be anywhere from 18 to, I think our oldest individual is 73.
Really,
Yeah.
my goodness.
Doug.
So, how many? You said you had three houses in the
We do.
county, and are you all looking for another house? I think I remember talking to you about it before.
Yes, we always are looking for housing. That's really the problem we're running into. Cherokee County is so fast growing that everybody's wanting to live here now, and it's just so hard to find housing here. That is, and let me just say, you can find housing, but just find housing that's affordable. You have to remember that our individuals are living off of Social Security to pay for their housing and stuff. Their waiver services that they get through Medicaid only pays for their staffing stuff. So any of their housing bills, room and board, has to come out of their Social Security check. So if it's, say, their rent's 2,000 a month, they don't get that in Social Security to pay for that. So we try to do it, the max you can have in a house is four people. So if they divide that rent up, it does make it affordable for them and they can handle that. But we have to find a housing that we can afford the mortgage or the rent on to be able to get them in these houses. So that's really what we're running into.
So how are you funded?
We are Medicaid providers, so we're directly contracted. We applied for our license to the state through DBHED to get our license to be a Medicaid provider. So we bill Medicaid directly for all the services we provide.
Okay. So that makes it easier for the families. They're really not having to put money out of pocket.
None. None.
Wow. Oh gosh. That's really a big deal. That's really a big deal.
It's very nice for the family because they don't have to worry about anything. We'll make sure it's taken care of. We even if the parents, a lot of parents when they get older want to travel, they want to go see the world. So when their child moves into one of our homes, we even use an outside rep payee that will handle their Social Security benefits for them. So that way they don't have to worry about those anymore, trying to figure out are they applied again? How much do they have? So it really works out well for the families not having to stress over it. And they can just enjoy their time with the individual. When they come to see them, it's just all about visiting. It's not about, hey, I have to come figure out their finances. I have to come figure out what to pay for this, how we're going to do this. We take care of all that for them.
Okay, that's good. Now, is there a waiting list for your housing program?
So yes, right now all of our houses filled up really fast, and there's a couple of other providers that provide housing in Cherokee County, but they're all full too, and that's what we're running into the biggest problem with right now is that there's 7,000 people on a waiting list to get a waiver services in the state of Georgia, and
Okay.
just to get services. And those people are going to need housing. And so there's a lot of providers like me that are in Cherokee County. We do things differently. We're a little different agencies, but 7,000 people, there's enough people for all of us to serve. We need to all come together and work together to help provide the needs in our community, in our county, for all these individuals that are coming through. And they're continuing to come through. They're graduating. There are more coming in every day.
Okay, so at what point, and again, I'm thinking about my daughter and my grandson, at what point do they need to get on a waiting list up to for services? Because he's going to be 17 here pretty soon.
That's the age you want to get started, because how the waiver services work is, first you have to be on Social Security, and
Okay.
once you're on Social Security, you get Medicaid as insurance, and then you can apply for a Medicaid waiver for services, but you have to be on Social Security first.
Okay.
So, and this is the time that they need to be applying for that to get him started.
Great information. Really, really great information. What other programs do you have? You said you mentioned that you had several programs.
Yep. So we do the housing. We do what we call the day program, which is the school Monday through Friday. We're not allowed to call it school. Our individuals will tell you they've already graduated. They're not in school anymore. So we're but we do have supported employment where we help them find jobs. We also have one-on-one, which we call community access individual, and we also do specialized medical supplies for those families who need, like, undergarments, bed chucks, things like that. We'll get those ordered through Medicaid, so the family, they'll just ship right to the house. Family doesn't have to worry about it. They just tell us what they need.
You really do answer a lot of or solve a lot of problems that these families find themselves with because they've been managing on their own. Again, I'm thinking about my daughter, and having a resource like you would be amazing. I'm going to put you guys in touch for sure.
Please, we'd help any way we can.
For sure. How many people can you accommodate in your day program?
We can probably hold up to about 200. We have 120 right now in our services, so we could probably get up to 200. We have two locations on Univetter, one at Univetter and Marietta Highway, and then there's another one just down the mile down the road. So we can easily accommodate 200 people.
And there's no waiting list for that.
No waiting list for that.
And Social Security takes care of that too for the day program.
No, the Medicaid waiver does. Yeah.
The Medicaid waiver does.
Yes, and we also offer, if there's people who are on the waiting list waiting to get waivers, we do private pay. So let's just say, hey, the parents say, I need him to get out of the house at least one day a week. Can I just pay for that? And we'll accommodate that. And we do a reasonable rate, work with them, whatever they can do, just to get them into service and get them out of the house for a little bit.
So, what about tours? Can
Oh,
family
always.
come and pre-tour and come help you? Is that by appointment?
Yes. So if you'll reach out, we have an intake department that will give you a tour anytime you want to. Just call them. If you reach out to either Marissa Turner or Kay Reese, they'll set that up for you so you can come and see all of our programs and what we do. And even if the individual wants to participate a little bit, they're welcome to come and participate.
That's cool too. That's really cool. But we are really down to our last couple of minutes, Jonathan. And boy, you've been such a wealth of information. Can you give our listeners contact information, like what phone numbers to call, what your website is?
Yes, if you do check out, we just updated our website at www.empowercherokee.org. There's a whole video about everything we do, all of our services, even a little tour of our campus, and you get to meet a lot of the parents, and you get to hear me talk again. And we'll talk about all the services and what's here. But like I said, you can reach out to us through that, or give us a call at 770-345-5821, and there's a log there.
Would you repeat both of those nice and slow so if
Sure.
people didn't get it written down soon enough, they have a
Yeah.
second chance at it?
So our website is empowercherokee.org. If you just go to that, it'll pull right up our website. And if you, our phone number is 770-345-5821.
And so just to make sure, it is Empower, EMPOW.
MP.
ER.
Yes,
It's not just
Empower Cherokee.
power, empower. Okay, terrific. Well, do you have any last anything that you would like the listeners to know in this hour?
No, if you see us out and you see our guys out, please just stop and say hi. That would mean the world to our guys and to the staff. Please don't ever shy off or back away. They really just want to be a part of community and make friends. So just say hi if you see us out and about.
I love that. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate what you do, especially again as a grandmother, because this is real information for me. And I am just amazed at the number of special needs, young men and women who are trying to find these resources. So I'm going to keep this information very close and share it, because this is really good. God bless you for what you do.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it more than you know.
It's so my pleasure.